Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got a few things to go through. We're doing another live episode here to round out the week. We'll continue with that tomorrow. But today we've got some news. First up, on a new version of the Model 3 coming to the US. We'll talk about the details behind that. We've got the first Model Y standard range deliveries from Tesla China. Got some news on Giga Berlin, a Tesla app update, update on the Plaid Model S, a couple of things from Elon, and a couple of non-Tesla things to wrap up with at the end. So we'll get started here with what you can see on screen. So Jordan from The Limiting Factor shared this out today. He received an email. He's got an order for a Model 3 pending right now, and he got an email from Tesla today saying, "Hi Jordan, we are contacting you about your car's limited warranty." No, I'm just kidding. Do you guys ever get those voicemails about the limited warranty thing? I feel like I get those all the time. But anyway, so it says, "We're contacting you about your Model 3 Standard Range Plus, currently estimated for delivery near the end of the year. We'd like to offer you the opportunity to receive your car even sooner. Due to limited supply and strong customer demand, we are introducing the Model 3 Standard Range Plus battery pack, which we already released in Europe and Asia to North America. This battery has a range of 253 miles estimated." Then in the rest of the email, they did also say that these would be just going directly into Tesla inventory as of September, so probably in mid-September timing. And as they say, they're the 253 miles of range. That is lower than what Tesla lists in the design studio for the Standard Range Plus at 263 miles today. So the email is a little bit confusing since they say they're introducing the Standard Range Plus battery pack, but they already have that in the design studio. But this is a different version as shown by the range. So the thought here is that these are lithium iron phosphate Standard Range Plus batteries, since that is what Tesla has produced in Shanghai and which they have shipped to Europe. So that's the thinking behind this, and that matches some of the rumors that we had seen sort of percolating over the last few days. It's kind of been surfacing for a while, but here from Troy Tesla, like a couple of days back, we saw this rumor that Fremont will start using lithium iron phosphate cells from China for Standard Range Model 3 slash Y from October 1st. And then some of the additional 2170 cells coming from Nevada then would be allocated towards Model Y production for Texas or Berlin. We did hear Elon talk on the last earnings call about how they do have a backup plan if 4680s aren't ready to go to start off production with those 2170 cells. So that seems likely at this point based on the comments that they've made about 4680s. And we continue to hear these rumors that Texas at least could be starting production kind of as soon as October 1st. So this is all sort of aligning. That should, having these battery packs come in from China, lithium iron phosphate, taking those packs and putting them in the production for the standard range should alleviate some of the battery constraints that they might have on those 2170 cells. Those can then go to Texas production. So I think, this isn't necessarily surprising to see Tesla do this. I think it is going to be a little bit tricky to manage with those two different ranges, and I think that's why Tesla's probably just putting them into inventory. They know that they've got enough demand that people are just going to snap those up if they do want a little bit quicker of a delivery. And those that do want for sure that 263-mile range can just go ahead and wait until their order gets fulfilled. So Tesla being a little bit proactive in that communication to just make people aware, hey, if you want this version, you can go ahead and get it from inventory. The only other thought that I really have on this is that as Tesla continues to do this, it should be margin accretive. Those LFP cells, lithium iron phosphate cells, should be cheaper. What I imagine Tesla's doing instead of importing these full vehicles is just shipping those battery packs in, still assembling them in Fremont into Fremont's production, versus shipping the whole vehicle over from Asia. So I think that's going to help with the margin because those packs should be cheaper. Obviously, you have to factor in the logistics costs, which might make it a wash, but it should free up sales then for either more production in Fremont of those higher trim models, or obviously the initial production from Texas is going to be higher margin too. So kind of exciting to see that and should open some things up for Tesla, give them a little bit more flexibility. All right, the next thing here, this is just a quick update. So we had seen the Model Y standard range introduced in the design studio a month or two back, and it looks like today, as expected, we do now have those first deliveries of the Made in China Model Y starting in Beijing, courtesy of Moneyball sharing out this photo from Sina there. So this is what Tesla originally communicated as the timeline for the standard range Model Y. So it looks like the production there has been on track. They originally said August. And yeah, we're at the tail end, but nice to see those initial deliveries starting. All right, next topic here. So this is an update on Giga Berlin. We've been talking about this as updates come in, but essentially the next step in the process, they had opened up that period of time for people to give comments if they had objections, environmental concerns, anything like that, to the addition of the battery cell manufacturing portion of Tesla's plans for Giga Berlin. And Land Brandenburg here is saying that the technical examination of the objections by the licensing authority of the State Office for the Environment has shown that a discussion is necessary. So they've reviewed these objections. There have been enough of them that they feel have enough merit that they are going to continue to allow this to go to a discussion phase. The rest of this is just talking about how that's going to be online. So usually they would have sort of like a town hall for this. But because there are a total of 809 people objecting between this round and the last round, they're just going to do this in an online setting with everything obviously going on. So unfortunately, that means we are going to have to wait a little bit longer until this is finalized. There was some hope that maybe they would not feel there was merit to a full discussion, but it looks like it is going to that stage. Hopefully nothing will come of it, but still going to be a little bit more time before that is finalized. All right, next up here, so you can see on screen, Tesla has updated their mobile app. So for those of you that, you know, don't have Teslas or don't have your Tesla yet, you can see here just a quick screenshot of it. I personally, you know, I actually kind of like the old design a little bit better, but it seems like thankfully I am in the minority for that. It seems like most of the feedback so far online has been pretty positive. So it's good to see that. It sounds like the main things, it seems a lot better for households with two Teslas. Seems to be able to flip between those vehicles more quickly, allow you access to both of them without having to actually go in the app and change your car. So it sounds like some good improvements there on a fundamental level, aside from just the redesign. And it sounds like things are just a little bit snappier too, which I haven't had much of a chance to play around with yet. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, just because we've got this app update, is that a user here on Reddit has done a little bit of digging through the new code for the app, which I feel like always happens whenever we get something like Tesla website update or an app update. And it looks like there may be some changes to the referral program coming based on some of the language that's hidden in the code of the app. So it says here, use my referral link to purchase a Tesla product and get free credits you can redeem for awards like supercharging miles, merchandise, and accessories. And one thing I don't have on the screenshot here, but that you'll notice in the app, is that Tesla has integrated the shop portion of Tesla's website, so where they have the merchandise and accessories, that's now integrated directly into the app, which maybe part of why they did this is because they are adjusting the referral program to not just be 1,000 miles of free supercharging, but some sort of credits here for things in the shop. So kind of interesting. I would imagine that if there are things like that, it would be in a way that is still going to save Tesla money on the referral program overall. So I wouldn't get super excited about it being very lucrative for referrals. I can't see Tesla wanting to spend more on referrals at this point with demand being as strong as it is, but it does look like maybe some changes coming there. All right, next up here. So we've just got a little bit of an update on Model S Plaid. You can see the headline here. Model S Plaid crashes during the Nürburgring testing. So aside from the crash, I think the important point here is that the Model S is back at the Nürburgring doing testing. Hopefully we'll get to see some lap times reported here pretty soon. I'm not sure there have been any lap times reported yet, but you know, no surprise for a crash like this when you're trying to push the vehicle to its absolute limits, and sometimes that results in a little bit of a crash. So looks like that did happen. Not sure on the severity. I'm guessing not super severe. Obviously those courses are set up to be as safe as absolute possible despite high speed racing, but it's good to see the Plaid back at the Nürburgring. All right, just a couple of tweet updates here from Elon. So Dave Lee tweeting out yesterday a little poll, just 1% shy here of coming through on that, but he's asking which is longer, 2 weeks or 4 weeks, because Elon's got that propensity for saying, you know, 2 weeks, and then it ends up being a long time until we actually get the update that was supposed to come in 2 weeks. And we, of course, heard Elon say that the FSD beta button should be in about 4 weeks. So Dave just kind of making a joke about that. If 2 weeks is really longer than 4 weeks, And Elon replied to that and sort of said that, yep, 2 weeks, as he has said in the past, is longer than that 4 week timeline. So hopefully that's a good indication of Elon's confidence in the release, but Elon's always usually pretty confident. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. He also said about beta 10, just in a reply to a Holmar's tweet, which I'm not going to show the tweet because it's got some language in there, but Elon saying beta 10 will be next level. So excited to see that. Elon had previously said that beta 10 would be the integration of Navigate on Autopilot and City Streets, basically the code base there being merged. So hopefully some exciting updates with that one. And as we talked about yesterday, could be the beta button. Next one, this is just a quick update just because I was kind of looking at this myself today. I'm always kind of curious when Tesla has events like AI Day, what the spike in search interest is related to those events. And if we look here at Google Trends, that kind of tracks that. You can see that it wasn't a huge spike. So it is the highest search interest in the last 90 days has been caused by AI Day. But it indexes, you know, at that 100 that marks the highest, not all that much higher than earnings. So earnings indexed at a 90. There have been other occasions in the last, you know, few months that have gotten pretty close to that. So it doesn't look like a huge spike in interest just from AI Day. And I don't know, I thought it was kind of interesting given, you know, a lot of the reaction and stuff about, you know, the timing of NHTSA's investigation with AI Day. I think sometimes we get in this little bubble of like overemphasizing how important these things are to the general public. Like the general public's not really caring about AI Day. They're probably also not really caring about the NHTSA investigation. And obviously the stock market didn't really do a whole lot either. We had that dip for a couple days, but that was it. So I would just, again, the timing is interesting, but I think we should see how it kind of plays out before coming to any super harsh conclusions. The other thing that I would emphasize, just because I feel like a lot of comments yesterday didn't really appreciate that I had said this, I do agree with the spirit of the comments that Sandy Monroe made. There's just a couple of things that I wanted to share of my own thoughts, but again, some people said that, you know, I was disagreeing. I was not disagreeing from a general perspective. So I just want to make that clear. Okay, last couple of things here. We're moving on from Tesla, but just like something to keep an eye on for tomorrow. The Federal Reserve is going to have, basically, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is going to be giving a speech tomorrow. So the markets are going to, as usual, be kind of keyed in on that. So just something to keep an eye out for tomorrow. There's been a little bit of uncertainty in terms of the direction the Fed is going to head. So his speech tomorrow is at 10 a.m. Eastern time, which would, I believe, be like 2 a.m. UTC, 7 a.m. Pacific. So if you're curious in those kind of things, you can keep an eye out for that. And then lastly, so those of you that follow Neuralink, Max Hodak, who was the CEO of Neuralink and co-founder, a while back, maybe a few months ago, had announced that he had left Neuralink and it had been a little bit unclear on what exactly he was doing. Futurism here is now reporting that he's starting a new sort of stealth startup called Science Corp, working on brain interfaces, so kind of competing with Neuralink. And apparently they've already raised $47 million. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It sounds like they've taken some other executives from Neuralink too. So it'll be interesting to follow that. I just kind of thought it was interesting and maybe people hadn't seen the Neuralink updates, so I wanted to pass that along too. All right, so I think that is it for today. Tomorrow's live stream to wrap up the week will be a little bit earlier in the day because I do have a conflict later in the evening. So probably sometime around market close tomorrow is my guess for when the live stream will be. Thanks, Peter, for the super chat. Thanks, Daniel. Just make sure there's no questions here, and then we'll wrap it up. All right, looks like we're good. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. As always, appreciate that. You can also make sure to subscribe.